but just feels like the right moment just to share God's word this evening. I just want to pray before we get into that. Lord, would you just reveal yourself? Lord, as we look into your word, would you just open our eyes? God, I pray that you'd speak to our deepest part of who we are. Lord, tonight, I just pray that our hearts will be open. Jesus, just speak to us tonight by your word. Lord, captivate our hearts. Lord, reveal yourself. God, I thank you for the treasure that's in your word, God. Just as we open it tonight, Lord, just show us. Help us to see. Help us to lay a hold of that tonight, Lord, I pray. Just speak in this place, Jesus. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to us tonight. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are going to come back and just worship, and just wanted to be able to share a few thoughts with you if I can. I know I've often perhaps said this, but I'm not sure whether we'll get through everything tonight. I chopped a whole load out even this afternoon that perhaps might appear at another point, but the title of Wendy's message this morning was Less is More, so I'll perhaps need to apply that to my preaching as well. So we're going to go into Hebrews chapter 10, and I just want to read a few verses to you from there. It will appear on the PowerPoint if you haven't got your Bible with you. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 through to 39. Just to put a little bit of context in this, just feel that very much, very strongly. There's a few phrases I've been repeating a lot of late. I'm just going to slide that back because I feel a little in the sunshine. I don't know if they can come down a touch on the lights, but just very much feel that we're in a season whereby God wants to build us up. God wants to bring us into a real understanding of who we are in him and who he is in us. And that's something I keep talking about a lot at the minute. Something I was preaching about just recently, last Sunday, about the understanding of his power that's in us. And he just wants to, not in a self-inflated way, but I believe that God wants us to increasingly walk out the door with our heads held high, our kind of chest kind of, you know, puffed out, if you like, not in I'm amazing, but in the fact that the amazing one lives within us and that we carry him and that we're understanding who we are in him and who he is in us. Because I know that the enemy wants to push people down, but I believe that Jesus lifts people up. And so he wants to lift us up. He wants us to walk tall, and he wants us to walk in him, in all that he has for us. And so very much at the moment, that's the kind of vein in the ministry that and the things that I'm feeling that God's saying to me. And so Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 39, I want to talk to you tonight about confidence. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But it says this: therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Okay? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. I just wonder for a moment, would you class yourself as a confident or an unconfident person? I don't know where you might put yourself on the spectrum today. And it's an interesting one because there's different types of confidence. And so, you know, you can have someone who's very self-confident and, you know, kind of, well, look at my powers and abilities and aren't I amazing kind of thing. You can have people who are, frankly, overconfident. You know, there's really nothing I can't do. I can do, you know, everything in my own ability and conquer every mountain in my own energy and own strength. But actually, I believe that the type of confidence I'm talking about tonight will be no surprise to you, but is that our confidence in Christ, you know, our God confidence, our confidence in terms of who we are in him and who he is, who we are in him and who he is in us. And I believe that in these days that God is wanting to build up our confidence in him, in who we are in him and who he is in us. Psalm 118, verse 8 to 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." People place their confidence in different places. They can place their confidence in themselves, as I said earlier on, self-confident or overconfident. People can place their confidence in people. They get their confidence from people. So in this day and age, the big pressure there will be something like social media, you know. Oh, I put something up on Facebook. Oh, I'll check it. How many likes have I got? You know what I mean? They'll check back in a little. How many likes has I got? Oh, I haven't got very many likes. I'm not feeling that confident. Gosh, look at all the likes and all the comments I've got. I feel really confident. You know, and so actually, I know I kind of joke, but I think that's a big thing. You know, especially for a lot of young people now, you know, how many likes am I going to get? You know, give me your opinion. How do I look? And all that kind of stuff. Is building up my confidence or is it shooting down my confidence? Some people find their confidence in what others say to them, what others do to them. Some people put their confidence in pastors, in counselors, whatever. I understand that there's a place for all of them, but our ultimate confidence must be placed in Christ. Okay? And so our confidence is in Him. The Bible teaches us to be confident. God wants us to be confident. God wants us to be assured, not in ourselves or other people. Philippians 3, verse 3, put no confidence in the flesh, it says there. Actually, you look at those words, it means place or have. Don't put, don't place, don't have no confidence in the flesh. And by flesh, it means in human effort. Okay, but Philippians 4 verse 13 conversely says this. You'll know this well. Okay, read it with me if you would. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I think that sounds like a confident statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the Bible teaches me a confidence, but it is a confidence in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My confidence is in who He is. Who He is, who I am in Him, and who He is in me. And God wants to build that, I believe, because I believe that some people are in a crisis of confidence. Some people are lacking confidence. Maybe you might say you've lost confidence. Some people are in a crisis of confidence. And I believe that actually the enemy wants to come along. And actually one of the big things he wants to just mess up is our identity of who we are in Christ and who He is in us. And he wants to confuse that and shake that and kind of, you know, get us feeling uneasy about that. But God wants to build that in us, that confidence that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hebrews 13 verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. When I was a lad and I used to play football, in our school team, my best mate was a fantastic footballer. His dad had played, he'd been on the books at Norwich. And so it was in the blood, and he was just brilliant at playing football. And his name was Gene, and I'd never seen anyone. Do you know what a step over is? No, a few shakes of the head, okay. A little bit of skill. I won't demonstrate, I haven't got a ball. But, you know, basically, it's just a bit of skill. Step over the ball. You're basically looking to trick the defender. And I see, I tell you what, this kid, right, well, my mate, we were both kids, he could do step over. I saw him sit people on their bottom for fun. I literally saw people bamboozled with his skills. You know, he'd jink his way through, he'd do that, the keeper would fall over and he'd just stroke the ball into the back of the net. And everywhere we went, like if we turned up at a school and we were getting off the bus, because kids knew him, people say, is Gene playing? Like that was a question. I remember turning up one day to play what was then Gaywood. We turned up to play Gaywood, and he weren't on the bus. And it like everyone was just like, "Oh, Gene's not on the bus, right?" And we got whooped, absolutely thrashed. But what we found is that when I had Gene on our team, I found this with our team. I was just thinking about it. It used to bring the best out of the rest of the team. It used to inspire us to have him there with us. And actually, it used to breathe confidence because we'd go into a game knowing that he was on our side. We'd go into a game knowing that if any of us were having an off day, he could pull it out of the bag. You know, he could score a worldie, he could do something special. And we would take to the field with that level of confidence. Now, if I can just apply this, what I want you to understand is this. That is how I'm meant to take to the Christian field. that Christ is on my side. And that as I step out onto that field, that brings out the best in me. So this confidence does affect my life. It does affect me and who I am. It brings out the best in me because Christ is on my side. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a confidence about the fact that he's with me. He's in me and I am in him. And so the devil will do all he can to undermine our confidence. Because the one thing he wants to attack, as I said earlier on, is our understanding of who we are in him and who he is in us, in Christ, sorry, who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. He wants us to have a confidence crisis. He wants us to live in a place where we have issues over our identity, we have issues over our worth, we have issues over our understanding of what we have available to us in Christ. And that's what he attacks, is our confidence, because ultimately he wants us to take to the field feeling insecure, uncertain, unassured, fearful, doubtful, on edge. That's how he wants us to take to the field. But Christ wants us going to the field knowing who we are in him, knowing what we have in him, knowing that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us, knowing that we have hope, we have a future, we have Christ on our side. And so this kind of battle ensues, if you like, where the devil is constantly trying to shake our confidence, but God wants to build our confidence. Stephen Furtick, who's Elevation Worship, the pastor of Elevation, says this: the devil cannot take your calling, he attacks your confidence. Okay, he cannot take your calling. You're called, you're a child of God, but he attacks your confidence. So if you just think for a moment in your own life, if you've ever had a crisis of confidence in a moment, or perhaps you'd naturally say, I feel like I'm not that a very confident person, or you know someone who's not that confident, what are some of kind of the signs of that? Well, I've just alluded to a few, but I know this much, that when people feel unconfident, they hold back. There's a reserved thing there. So they hold back. Now, if you apply that to our Christian life, if the devil can make us unconfident, we're going to continuously be holding back. Okay, now I believe, and I trust you do too, that God has a bright future for every one of us. I believe that God intends he's got a great plan for every one of us, a future intended for every one of us. I believe that God has got more for every one of us. But if the devil can shake our confidence, it's going to hold us back from moving forward into that. Doubt is another thing. Self-doubt's a big thing. You make a decision. Anyone else ever made a decision and they've not felt that confident about the decision they've made? You make it, I'm going to make this decision. You know, like you have that thing, don't you? Conversation, should I do that or that? Or should I do that or that? You go, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. I've done that. And then about 10 seconds later, you go, was that the right thing to do? Should I have done that? You change your mind. You make another decision. Fear is another symptom. Insecurity is another symptom. Feeling uncertain is another symptom. Feeling indecisive, as I just said, is another one. So he wants to hold us back. The devil wants to hold us back. He wants to shake our confidence. Anyone else ever heard these voices? I trust it's not just me. Who are you? What can you do? What difference can you make? Where's God? Why is he not coming through in that situation for you that you're praying about? Okay, what's the devil doing? He's attacking your confidence in Christ, in who you are in him and who he is in you. And so actually, to make progress, if I'm not really confident in this, making progress is really hard. Joyce Meyer says this: a Christian without confidence is like an aeroplane sitting on a runway with an empty fuel tank. The plane has the ability to fly, but without some fuel, it's not getting off the ground. Confidence is our fuel. Okay? Again, just get the right understanding of what confidence we're talking about here. But it's basically saying this, isn't it? Everything's there. Everything's available. It's good to go. But it's like you can't get up in the air. You're kind of grounded because you're not all that sure, all that confident. And so continuously the devil attacks our confidence because he wants to ground us. Because if you take that analogy just a step further, I really simply believe this, that the more confident we become in Christ, in his ability, in who he is, in what he can do, who we are in him and who he is in us, what can an aeroplane do? It can get up above. And I believe that the more confident we come in Christ, the more we find we're able to get up above things in our lives, certain about things. Okay? So it's nothing new that our confidence can be attacked. And actually, if you study what was going on here in Hebrews, they were having a bit of a crisis of confidence. I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. So they were having it. I sometimes have it. I would dare to guess that you sometimes have a crisis of confidence. Okay? And that was something that the devil revealed his hand on right back at the beginning. That he would always attack our confidence. So Eve is in the garden. The devil appears as the serpent. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Let me attack your confidence in him, in what he said, in what he means, in what he intends. Does he really want the best for you? Let me get you doubtful. Let me get you into a place of feeling a little insecure and uncertain. And what happens is they're robbed of the future that God intended for them. And that's his plan. So Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away your confidence. And the whole thing that's going on here, as the writer to the Hebrews is kind of wanting us to understand, is now they're in a midst where what he's looking to do is reestablish this, their confidence, to rebuild it, to help them to get their confidence back, to strengthen it. Because they had lived through seasons in their life when they had known real confidence that helped them get up above really tough times. So Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 35 says, but recall the former days after you were enlightened. Listen to this. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. He's saying there was a time in your life when like crazy stuff was going on. Bad stuff, hard stuff, but you believed. There was a confidence there that you suffered that because you believed you had a better possession. You had a confidence in Christ. And so the opening of the book of Hebrews chapter 1, read it in your own time, is an absolute key, I believe, to rebuilding or to encouraging and building our confidence. Just read chapter 1, because the writer of the Hebrews, the first thing he talks about to them is what? The supremacy of God's Son, my Bible says that title. He's getting their eyes onto Jesus straight away. It's all about chapter 1, how great and how awesome Jesus is. Essentially, the message of chapter 1 is Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything in your life, better than anything else you can ever know, better than anyone else that you know. And so he's rebuilding their confidence by getting their focus on Christ. And so when we have a crisis of confidence, that is our greatest need, to refocus on Jesus. Because I believe that in a crisis of confidence, we often get things out of perspective. We lose a sense of perspective. We get things out of perspective about things that are going on with Jesus. And we get things out of perspective with ourselves. I'm having a crisis of confidence, i.e. I'm rubbish. God's not going to use me. This is not going to change. You know, and this all kind of begins to happen because the perspective that we're seeing with is kind of out of balance. And that's what the devil helps us to do. Get things out of perspective. And so what he says to the Hebrews is you've got to try and get things back in perspective. And so first he focuses them on Christ in chapter 1. Now he says something really interesting in verse 32. He says, right, it's time now, guys, to get some perspective back. The devil's just getting things out of perspective for you here. So in verse 32, he says this, but recall the former days. Let's get the perspective back, he says to him. Let's take a look back at what Christ has done in your life. Let's have a look back at Christ's track record in your life. Okay, some more questions for you. Anyone else like me ever get frustrated, doubt themselves, feel rubbish, insecure, tired, feel like giving up? Everyone ever felt seasons of pain or mess? Anyone ever felt frustrated that they're not where they want to be? You know, I think the trouble is when you stand in a pulpit, you can seem awfully confident up here and people don't actually realise the internal battles that you're having. Sometimes doubt is really strong in my life. And sometimes, like Rob Parsons was saying on Wednesday night, I hear that same voice that comes to me and says, oh, you hypocrite. And, you know, and everything like that. You're rubbish. Look at that. That's not changed, you know. All that kind of stuff, that all comes. Those voices come. And so in that moment, what do? I think there's something significant in beginning to recall the track record of Christ in my life. And so actually what I need to begin to do is I need to look back through my life. Now, if you've ever struggled, like I just said, I bet that's happened to you more than once in your life. See, I find that some of them things that I just said to you there, they're not just like one-time things. I find that they're things that often throughout my life, the enemy comes along and whispers again in my ear. And they come along and he tries to play on them things. And it's like, I've been here before. But the good news is this. I heard someone recently make this point, so I won't take the credit for it. They said this. They said, listen, you're still here. You made it. And Jesus brought you through. So you've been through seasons in your life where you've heard that voice. You've been through seasons in your life where you've had crises of confidence, and you're still here now. You made it. Jesus has brought you through it. And so in Hebrews, he's like, right, here's the perspective. He says, you've had hard struggles. You've suffered. You've been humiliated. You've been beaten. You've been stabbed in the back. You've lost friends. You've lost possessions. You've been in poverty, but you made it. You've had crisis moments in your life before, and you're still here. Jesus has brought you through this. And so sometimes in those moments when we're having that crisis and we're going, I can't do this anymore, God is coming along and saying, look back, together we can. Together we can. I've brought you through this stuff before. The devil's getting it all out of perspective. You're rubbish. You're never going to get through. And Jesus is saying, take a look back and see what we've walked through. Sometimes we're so focused on the fact that we're not where we want to be, we forget how far we've come. And Christ has brought us so far. And he's brought us through so many things. So in the moments, for me personally, when I'm like, oh, I can't get through this. I can't do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I hear God say things in life, well, I remember, you see, when I brought you through that day when your dad died in that car crash. And you was a broken young man. And you didn't know how you get your kind of life back together at that age. You didn't know how life would ever be the same. I remember that. Look, you went through that. You're still here. You made it. I brought you through it, you know, and stuff like that in our life. And sometimes we've just got to look back, because looking back can help us to move forward. When I ran the marathon, I have two experiences when I kind of run long distances, which I have two experiences. One, when I initially start off, all I can think about is how many miles I have to go. And the feelings are horrible. I'm so focused on how far I've got to go. And the feelings that come with that are just like, ugh. But every time I ever run, there's a point in the race or the run at which point my mindset switches from not from how far I have to go, but look how far I've come. And when my mind switches to the fact of the miles that I've got in the bank and that are behind me and what I've already come through, the feelings are entirely different. And the devil's always wanting to focus you on look how far you've got to go. And Jesus is sometimes saying, take a look back and look how far you've come. See, some of the best advice I can give you, friends, when you feel like your confidence is a bit shot, is take a look over your shoulder and look how far you've come. So think about David. He goes to fight Goliath. Is everyone okay, by the way? You managing to stay awake in the sofas? All right. One or two are struggling. But think about David, all right? He goes out to fight Goliath, this beast of a man, this undefeated giant. And you know that everyone's afraid of him. He's a phenomenal kind of specimen, if you like. And then we jump in at 1 Samuel 17. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight. Remember, David's just a boy, a little shepherd boy. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, Now listen to this. Can you see what he's going to do right here? He's going to take a look back. Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him down and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. How did David put the problem into perspective? He looked back and said, listen, I've killed bears with God. I've killed lions with God. He took a look back over his shoulder and said, God's been there, and God's still here, and God's going to be there again. And so he looked back, and it strengthened his confidence and helped him to get the problem in perspective. I heard a great quote recently. It said this, our past trials can strengthen us in our present struggles. Our past trials can strengthen us in our present struggles. So to build our confidence, recall the things from the past that remind you of God's faithfulness. I don't know if you've ever heard the song Do It Again by Elevation Worship. And I'm going to play that to you in a minute. I'll just try and find just a couple of the words. It says this, your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I've seen you move. Come move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. So do not throw away your confidence. And you know, sometimes we pray for more confidence, but I want us to see that actually there is a confidence that we already have. Because when he says, do not throw away your confidence, that implies we have confidence already. We're sometimes going, oh, give me more confidence. And here it's saying, don't throw away the confidence that you already have. And that confidence, Hebrews 10 verse 19 says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. This is where our confidence gets built up. And this is the confidence that we have. We have confidence. And so sometimes we're focused on the fact that we want more confidence. And actually, we need to learn to access what we already have. And that is, and it's mind-blowing, access into the presence of God. A confidence that we can come into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. I have a running watch that I use, and I bought it secondhand off a friend. And he just kept giving me different bits. Gave me the watch, and he gave me something else, and he gave me a belt. I'm like, what on earth is all this stuff? Got this strap and everything like that. It's got heart monitors and all this kind of stuff that it can do. I just press go. I just press start and stop, you know, when I'm on this thing. It's got so much capability. I have it, but I'm not accessing it. It's all available, but I'm not accessing it. And I feel this is like our Christian walk. I was trying to say this to us this morning. There's so much available to us that we already have. It's not that we don't have it. It's just we don't know how to access it. And that's what Jesus wants to help us with. So we have power and love and grace available to us. It's there. Our life is there. It's available to us. It's just we're not necessarily accessing it and using it. And yet there's a confidence I have that I can come into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. And when I think about that and we remind ourselves that the presence of God was so strong in the Old Testament that only high priests could go in. If they went in and they weren't clean, they'd fall down dead. I don't know how confident you'd feel going into the presence of God. You'd want to, you know, gosh, am I really right, really, really, really clean, you know, before I'm going to walk in there because my life is on the line. And yet it says here, I can confidently approach God. The blood of Jesus is my confidence to come right into the presence of God, and I can confidently expect an encounter with God. And when you have an encounter with God, it will build your confidence. What happened to me when I was at one event, it's very hard to put into words, and I don't want to sound like arrogant when I say it. All I know is that when I realized that encounter was there and available to me, that the blood of Jesus makes me confident to be able to access everything that I need and come right into the throne of God and to have an encounter with Him, all I know is that something changed in me, and it's changed me with a confidence, a new level of confidence in who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. And I don't want you to think I'm trying to be arrogant, but I've just suddenly found that as a result of that encounter, actually some of my fears have diminished and my faith has increased. And I want to give the glory to Jesus, but I'm finding that I'm in circumstances where there's opportunities to pray, and you know, the other week I missed one, but then the next week I'm there and that same person's there and that same opportunity arises, and there's something inside me that I'm not going to miss it this time. Can I pray for you? And many times I've missed it and I've bottled it, but something has changed as a result of an encounter with God. And the blood of Jesus says we can confidently come to His throne and find, Hebrews 4 verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God doesn't want me to be this insecure, uncertain son. He wants me to know that I can confidently come into His presence and find everything that I need. Nothing there to separate me. The blood of Jesus gives me confidence that I can come in, that I can expect an encounter. When I encounter Him, I am changed as a result of that encounter. It talks about here about how our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Perhaps the band could just come back. You know, I just want to just say something about that for a moment, because I think there's an important thing there just to highlight in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Anyone else stuff up? Anyone else sin? Anyone else make a mess? And anyone else find that their conscience says to them, you're rubbish. There's no room here for you. There's no place here for you. You call yourself a son of God. You don't pray enough and do enough. And who are you to go into His presence and to be expected to be used by Him? And the devil's all over that. You know what I mean? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And your conscience is just like... Do you know it's really hard to be confident when you have a troubled conscience? Because you feel really guilty and uncertain and insecure, and it's like, oh gosh, if I am really that rubbish and I really can't get it that right, you hold back. And so therefore, you hold back from coming into the presence of God. You hold back from knowing what it is to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, to be able to come into the presence of God, to be able to come to that throne where you find everything that you need, because the devil is giving you a crisis of confidence. Our conscience can threaten our confidence. The devil's saying you can't come. And yet God is saying, as I read this here, yes, you can, confidently, because the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. And you get your confidence from the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and clears your conscience, and the way has been opened. And I've got to believe that. I've got to be confident about that. I've got to be sure about that and not throw my confidence away. Because verse 35 says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hold on to it. Don't throw it away. There's a great reward. Hebrews 3 verse 14 is the last scripture I want to share with you. In fact, I've just realized I've made a mistake because there was a song I wanted to play on a video at the end and I brought the band back up. So you might just need to hold for a second. Sorry for being a wally. I really felt I wanted to play that song and just get you to watch the word. So I think we should do that. But Hebrews 3 verse 14, "For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Do you remember when you first trusted Jesus? Do you remember the confidence you had when you first trusted him? The Bible says, don't throw that confidence away. Hold on to that confidence. Keep that confidence. Because all the commentaries say that verse means that when we hold on to that confidence, we're united to the Savior. And we begin to discover in our lives, we don't need to look anywhere else. He is everything we need. This is what the commentaries say. We receive and share in all he has and supplies for us. And it's a picture of the union of the branch to the vine, where the branch is supported and nourished by the vine, where nothing is to be imparted by us, but everything gained. And we have a confidence that Jesus Christ is more than enough. That the blood of Jesus is more than enough. And I look back over my life and down them years, and I see all that he has brought me through as I stand in this present moment when I might be having a crisis of confidence. And I see, Jesus, you've been there before. You've done it before. I believe you'll do it again.